Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in this morning speaking to mothers and daughters around the world. Good morning, mothers and daughters. How are you? It's a beautiful Saturday morning. It looks hot out there. We're in South Florida doing what we do, helping mothers and daughters to start where they stop. You know, it's absolutely a wonderful concept that we do, and we appreciate God for even allow us to do it, starting where we stopped. So we are here helping mothers and daughters in the correctional center. We'll tell you a little bit more about that. We're getting ready to come up to graduation with mothers and daughters, our second graduation for the Mother and Daughter Bible College. We have good news coming to you. We're going to open up the college, put it online. You should see that in the next couple of weeks, and you can register and get your degree in biblical studies or Christian clinical or Christian theology. It's not clinical. It's Christian psychology. I had to get that right. My goodness, it's too early in the morning. Trying to make sure that we get all these things in. All right, let's see here. It's been interesting. Wouldn't change anything about it. Text your friends and family and ask them to join us. They can call in at 347-539-5078. That's 347-539-5078. Join us here on the radio, and we are talking to mothers and daughters around the world. I have the pleasure this morning to actually be in the presence with Professor Oliver, who's the dean of our Bible College, and every once in a while it's getting more than likely now. Cynthia, is that like every other week or so we're together somewhere doing something. Times have changed. We were waiting and saying, God, you know, when is this going to happen? And now we're traveling every other week going somewhere doing something. And we get the pleasure of doing the radio show together. So want to say good morning to the audience?
Absolutely. Good morning, audience. It's a pleasure to be here with you, Dr. Fletcher. And we do what we do. And so with that, I just say good morning, audience, and I'll talk to you in a moment.
Well, you can talk to them right now because you want to do the prayer.
Oh, absolutely. Father God, we come before you as humble as we know how, thanking you for yet another day. But this is the day that you have made. We have decided this morning to rejoice and be glad in it. We are here to do your will and your work, Father God, and we thank you because you could have chosen anybody to do this, but you chose us as a team to do it. You sent them out two by two. That's how it was in the biblical days. And so you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So we thank you, Father God. We thank you for our co-host, Deborah. Not sure she's going to join us today, but we always love Deborah's perspective, and she's definitely part of the ministry, so we dare not leave her out. And we just thank God for all of you guys who will raise your hand to speak today and share what God put on your heart concerning the subject matter, because we're not the host. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is the host, and we're just a co-host to him. And so whatever he has to say to you is just as important as it is that what he says to us to share with the world. And so with that, Father God, we just thank you, for you are worthy to be praised every day that you give us breath. And so, Father God, you said if we don't give you praise, the trees and the rocks will give you praise. So I don't want anything to outpraise me when it comes to giving you praise. And so I just thank you right now, Father God. And I thank you for our fearless leader, Dr. Fletcher. As we continue this journey, I can't imagine not doing it. And so I just thank you again for choosing us, for doing such an awesome task. And with that, I turn it back over to Dr. Fletcher. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, all right. We ready to move on here. Let's see. We have, want to make sure that, you know, that I want you to go to our website. We're doing a new website and adding some new things to it so that you'll be able to go on, catch up, redesigning it, focusing on the things that we are pushing toward for 2020. And so it's some exciting things. Not only will you be able to obtain a college degree from accredited Bible college, you'll also be able to participate in some of the activities, because we are building a mother and daughter community. And being a part of that community means that you will get to participate and get various perks for being a part of the ministry. So look out for that. And the ministry is definitely Mothers and Daughters, Helping Mothers and Daughters. So keep your eyes out, please, for upcoming events. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about what the Lord placed on my heart this morning. And the stimulating topic today is, it's not me, it's my mother. It is not me, it is my mother. Let's see. And before we get into that, I also want to tell you that you can reach me at DrBessie1, that's DrBessie, the number one, at gmail.com. Now, last week our perspective was from, last week our stimulating topic was from the perspective of mothers. It says, from the perspective of the mother or the daughter. And we had a dynamic conversation about that, because, you know, everything is about perspective. Some people's perspective are different from others. And, you know, we tend to blame each other because their perspective is not our perspective. Well, we can't do that, because everybody has their own way of looking at things and their own way of processing things based on their life learnings and processes of things that they have endured or encountered. So the measuring point comes from that, and the perspective comes from that. So we talked a little bit about that, but I was a little bit, you know, heavier on the mother side, and I'm always heavier on the mother side, because the mother is the oldest, the mother has the more experience, and the mother is required by God to do certain things. So therefore, the daughter is not going to be held blameless, but she will fall within the, I guess you would say, the blame of the mother, or the shortcomings of training from the mother. We'll get a little bit into that, and you might say, well, how can that be? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So that's just a little bit to kind of get your brain stimulated just a little bit. And again, our stimulating topic this morning is, it's not me, it's my mother. As I said to some people, Cynthia, that this is 20 years. Lord have mercy, I'm only 27 and a half years old, and I'm rolling into 20 years of, and you figure this out, audience, in the 20 years of actually counseling with mothers and daughters and helping them for 20 years, the 29th of this month, I might just treat myself with something special. So with that, you know, I've heard in a lot of counseling where daughters would come up and say, you know, they didn't trust the mother, or it was the mother's fault, and they did things because she did this. It was always sort of like a blame. So this morning I'm going to go into what the Holy Spirit taught me this morning, and then Cynthia and I, you and I, we're going to just open up the discussion. Deborah will not be on with us this morning. The Holy Spirit is saying to me that, let's see, let me go back. I lost my train of thought here. Oh, 1 second, audience. Let's see what we are doing. It's not me, it's my mother. Our conversation was heavily on the perspective of the mother, as in, you know, most cases, as I said earlier, you know, I speak mostly to the mother because she has more life experience than her daughter. However, that doesn't make the daughter blameless. The mother, you know, when mothers and daughters, when their daughters are young, you know, the daughter's watching you. She's listening to you. And, of course, she assumes that what she sees and what she hears you say, the way you do things, that's her truth. That's all she knows as a reality. And keep in mind that they spend, you know, they spent 9 months within you, mother. They listen and they felt your energy, and they recognize your behavior, your reactions to things that went on. That's all they know. Just think about that. That's all they know. So most of us thought that every family lifestyle, you know, that their family lifestyle, you know, when you look at your life and your family as a child, you think that every household, your friends, everybody's living, and that's the way. If it's trauma in your house, you feel that's the way it is in your friend's house. Everybody, you know, a little child thinks everybody's living the same lifestyle. Until they start spending time with their cousin or at the cousin's house, they see that their parents are doing things different. Then they go spend time with their friends, and they realize that their family's doing something different, you know, and then they try to measure it. You know, they pick out the things that they like from their friend's house and their cousin's house, and then they try to implement that and bring it back into their household and quickly say, as a little child, well, my friend Susie, her mother doesn't do it that way. Her mother allowed her to stay up past 8 o'clock. So they're trying to pull back those things that they see that their friend or cousin is doing, and said, well, you know what? I want to incorporate that into our lifestyle. Why can't I do that? I like that. They get to do, why can't I do it? And that's a good teachable moment there, mother, is to show them, no, in this house, we do it this way, and then give them a reason why. And the best reason I can think of is to give them the reason from the book of God, the Bible. No, God is saying, I'm supposed to raise you up. I'm supposed to teach you according to the way he's showing me to teach you. It may not match your cousin or your friend's household or the way their parents are training them. This is the way we do it in this house. Kind of go back to David. As of me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Don't just tell them, show them. Show them what the Bible says. A lot of times you think kids are so small they don't understand, you know, but they do. Because my great-grandson, when he was born, the first thing I bought him was a Bible. And I thought it was sturdy enough that he would not tear it up as he grew up and all that. And he's just, 16, 17 months old now. And the Bible is torn up because he looks at it every day. It has the right pictures. And he knows, he called it my Bible. And I mean, Dad has planted a seed in his mind. He knows that is the Bible, and we show him and tell him. So now when he go pick it up, you can say, go get your Bible. He'll go get that book. Of course, now we got to tape it up because he plays with it so much and look at it and just turn the pages and say, my Bible. See, because they're already connected to God before they came. A lot of times when he was little, I would say things to him like when he's looking around, staring out in space, Like, what are you looking at? Do you see Jesus? Because you have to remember, the spirit came from the Lord. So they're still connected, and they're still talking in the heavenly language when they come. That's why we don't understand them, because it's like speaking in tongues. They are still connected to their heavenly language until they listen enough and they hear enough and they see enough and they start adapting the ways. That's why it's very important on what we do, mothers. So why would your daughter say, it's not me, it's my mother? Could it be a subconscious training? Think about it. It could be something subconsciously in her mind that she doesn't realize, because, you know, things that she hear you say and things that she's seen that you've done, sometimes if they don't add up, you can't underestimate the wisdom and the understanding of the mind, the processing of the mind. That's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And the Bible tells us stories, and you said that's the Proverbs. Yeah. Proverbs were given to us as a training tool to get you familiar with what was coming, which was Jesus Christ. So, yes, that he is she. Train her up the way that she should go. And see, mothers, even when you don't realize that you are training her, you are training her, if that makes sense to you. Because things that you do, she's looking at you. She believes that you know the truth. She thinks that you have all the answers as a small child. Nobody's going to tell her her mother's wrong. That's my mother. Why wouldn't I believe my mother? My mother said it, that's it. My mother does it, that's it. That's just like it reminds us of Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus said, I do what the Father tells me to do, and I say what the Father tells me to say. We are made in his image, so why wouldn't we do that? We copy what we see. We copy what we hear. That's why the Bible tells us in Ezekiel 16:44, as is the mother, so is her daughter. As is the mother, so is her daughter. Now, you can't get past that. It's very plain. It's simple. As you are being mother, your daughter, you're training your daughter, and so will she be. The one thing that we do know about mothers and daughters is that they each have their own body, mind, and soul, and their own spirit. But the spirit is the spirit of God, connected. So that spiritual connection, that's why mothers and daughters cannot disconnect, can't disconnect from each other, can't disconnect from God, you know, can't disconnect in any way, because that you will never be able to control the spirit. He will allow us to control our soul, which is our mind. Our body will follow whatever our mind says. And so the daughter is watching you. She's hearing you. And in her subconscious mind, she's recording you. And it will come back at some given time. One thing about subconscious information, it will roll back up to your conscious mind. And sometimes it filters through the unconscious. And I'll tell you why and how. Say, for instance, if you're driving a car and you've driven through 10 lights, and you go, wow, I don't even remember passing through those lights. Well, see, what happened, your subconscious kicked into your unconscious mind, and unconsciously you was driving the car, you were doing all the things that you know, and it just automatically kicked in. Well, that's the same thing with your daughter. Her subconscious mind will kick in, and her subconscious mind will kick into her unconscious mind, and before you know it, she's doing something and really don't know why she's doing it. She just knows she did it. So from my perspective, it's through training. We are training when we don't realize we are training. Your actions, you are training. And in my 20 years of helping mothers and daughters, most of the daughters think that their mothers are to blame for their mistakes. And you say to yourself, where would she get that from? Why am I to blame? She came to you in a blank slate. She had no sin. She had no blame. She was perfect in all her ways and placed in your womb. And you told God, I got it from here. And how many people, when they get pregnant, just start talking to God and asking God about this baby and, okay, what do you want me to do? And is it a boy, is it a girl? Is it, you know, what is it? What are you sending them for? What do you want them to do when they get here? Very rarely someone starts at that point. They'll start when the baby comes and into the earth, but they miss the most important part, the 9 months. But in the daughter's mind, she might be thinking, Mother, you taught me how to hide things and hide the truth from Daddy. You buy something, you put it in the back of your car, and you ask the daughter to not tell the daddy. Now, don't tell Daddy now. I don't want Daddy to know. So now you're teaching her how to lie and teaching her how to hide the truth, and you think that's not going to come back? It's going to come back to bite you. She may say, Mother, you taught me how to say one thing and do another, because she's heard you say one thing to somebody and she saw that you didn't do it, or your response was different from what you said. And then the other, she may say, Mother, you taught me how to pretend to like someone when you really didn't. I saw you pretending to like someone and you act like you like Miss Jones at the church, and then all of a sudden you see Miss Jones, you act like you like Miss Jones, but I hear you talking about Miss Jones and you can't stand Miss Jones, and Miss Jones get on your nerves, and I can't stand it when she come and kiss me on my jaw. Oh, my God. And then you go and you, hi, Miss Jones, how are you? She watched you. You taught me how to pretend I like someone. So see, these things are measuring up, because she's learning how to pretend she like you when in essence she's hiding something from you. She has a secret and she's angry with you about something. She knows how to pretend and act like it doesn't exist. But the one thing about it, the body will respond differently. The body's going to respond to the mind. So if you got something in your mind against somebody, when you're in their presence, they know that you don't like them. They know, because the body will not be at ease. The body will be uncomfortable, will not be able to stand, and then the energy started flowing around, and people know, well, what's wrong? She don't really like me. That's how we really come to the conclusion that somebody don't like you. It's all about energy. The other thing she might say, Mother, you taught me how to treat a man or my husband. I watch you. I watch how you treated Daddy. I watch how you treat the man that you dated. And so I assume this is the way I'm supposed to treat a man. A mother, you taught me how to treat the family. You don't treat the family right. We go to family events, and what happens? You act like you like the family, but in essence, you don't even like the family. You don't like them. And so, therefore, I look at you, and then I treat the family the same way. I like the aunt that you like, your sister, the one that you get along with. That's my favorite aunt. The one that you don't like, I don't like my aunt. I don't like that aunt because you don't like your sister. See, that's how we measure who we like in the family better. I've heard young ladies say, no, so-and-so, that's my favorite aunt. Why? Because that's my mother's favorite sister. So we are training. Now, did I miss anything? Daughters blame you, mother, because in her heart, she is aware that you are responsible for raising her. She's aware of that. And remember, she was placed in your womb harmless, sinless, a clean slate, and you told God unconsciously, but you did it. Thank you, God. Thank you for the baby. I'll take it from here. Now I'm going to get Cynthia's take on it. Cynthia, what do you think about that topic this morning?
Well, according to scripture and according to what I've come to believe, and it only makes sense, when we have taught our children our ways, our children are going to have our ways. It only makes sense. And so that's all they know. They only know what they see. Children know oftentimes don't do what you say, they do what they see. So if your mouth is saying one thing and you're doing something else, what you're doing is what they're going to record. So it only makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Basically, what we are saying, audience, is that you raise up the child. the child, you know, say for instance is with me. I was an only child. So I really didn't have another sister or brother to look at or measure their behavior, because every child, Cynthia, has their own perspective and what they see in the parents. You know, some children are, I've seen some children that's clinging to the mother. Some children are clinging to the father. It's something that connects. And usually if you see a mother and father and they have one daughter and one son, that son is with the mother and that daughter is with the dad. She becomes the daddy's girl. He becomes the mama's boy. And then you wonder, why wouldn't it be the little girl connecting to the mother? They go to the opposite. And so here they go, because what? We are born to be attracted to the opposite sex. So here comes this little girl, you know, she's looking at you. She's measuring you from a different eye. And especially if you're talking to her dad, then that's her dad. That's her one that she's chosen. And she sees no wrong in him. And you mistreat daddy, then she's going to have some. And
you
know,
you as the mother.
As the mother. She's gonna come across like, well, you mean you don't like daddy and daddy hadn't done anything. That's why when I dealt with mothers and daughters in divorces, you know, the daughter blamed the mother. Daddy would not have left if you wasn't so mean. You argued with him. See, she doesn't know the whole story.
Yeah.
She don't know what goes on in the bedroom.
Yeah.
She don't know the private conversations. All she know is that you're the most forceful one in the conversation and the argument. So therefore, it's your fault.
And therefore, you caused my daddy to leave me.
Uh-huh.
And so that's the way God raised us. God raised us or created us, if you will. God created us with the attraction to the opposite sex. Daddy is supposed to be our first love. Mother is the discipline in the family. So who else are you going to go to who you think is the nice one? So if the mother is the most forceful one, then, of course, you're going to journey towards daddy because he is my friend. And so children are always looking for their friend in the family because that's the one who's going to protect them. And I've heard you talk about your relationship with your daddy and how daddy will always get your way, you know, because you know you dare not go to mom. But if you went to daddy, he's gonna make it all right. He's gonna say, you talk Miss Pearl into letting you do what you wanted to do because that's your daddy and he was your friend when you was that child and he was the nice one, if you will. And so when we have both parents in the house. Of course, and even if you're the only child, you're going to always journey towards that one who protects you, if you will, and gives you your way. And that's just the nature of the beast. And so we have the very nature of God. And guess what? Because we, as women, and we are very envy, and we're very envy of relationships within the family. And so when we are raised and we are raised without mother, even if you're a single mom and you raise your child and you talk about that thing about Miss Jones quite a bit, of course, that's the way she's going to be in her growing up as a teen and as an adult. She's going to be that way because that's what you have taught her. And so we, our children do what we teach. It may not be the words that come out your mouth, but your action will definitely show up in them.
And so every time, you know, hit on two things, one being, you know, with my dad, you know, my mother I thought was my best friend, but daddy was my protector. Daddy was that one I knew. See, I knew how to manipulate the whole situation. I tell people I knew exactly what to pull. I knew how to put them at odds with each other. And I would do it as a child not to be mean, but to get my way. And I knew what I could do, and my mother knew I was being a little slick, you know what I mean? And so she would try to tell daddy, you cannot allow her to get you to agree with her when I said something. And daddy would say, oh, well, yeah, but just think about it. You know, she didn't really mean it. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, go, daddy. You go, because I didn't mean it. So daddy would be my attorney. You know, you go into the courtroom and they tell you, oh, this is about corporations, so ma'am, you can't represent yourself. You gotta have an attorney. Well, in my case, I knew daddy was gonna plead my case. But oh, what happened? when they must have had a conversation. I'll never forget this. And all of a sudden, I done something. And I waited on the outside like I normally do. It could be dark. I would not go in that house till Daddy pulled up. And when Daddy pulled up, see, he had no cell phone, so I couldn't call him. And so I would just wait. And my mother said, you can wait all you want, but I'm going to spank your behind tonight, Daddy or no Daddy. And I thought to myself, I'm on the porch talking. No, you're not. You're going to wait till Daddy come home. Daddy going to fix it. So when I put, when Daddy pulled up, I plead my case. Daddy, this is what happened. You know, I said, and Daddy said, really? Well, why would Mama do that? Now he had me. And I was like, but you know how she is, Daddy. She did so and so and so, but I didn't do it, Daddy. And Daddy, you need to tell her. And I went to my kid and I said, okay, well, come on. We went in the house. So I, you know, Daddy said, what happened? And so when Mother told her, Daddy turned. And I was like, what? I was heartbroken. Because they got together and realized, if we keep allowing her to divide us, this is not good for her. Mm-hmm. She will not see how a family is supposed to operate. And Daddy had to agree with Mother. And then, you know, then I had some other thoughts about Daddy. Then, okay, now you done trade, or you done trade on me. But in essence, I'm glad, because what they did, they allowed me to see, you don't get, as a child, to control the family. You don't get to, you know, we love you, but you don't get to pit, you know, pull one against the other. And that's a dangerous thing in a family. So now, from the daughter's perspective, I'm looking at the fact that, you know, with Mother, my mother was a yes-no person. I didn't like it, but when I look back at it, I'm a yes-no person. If I tell you I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. But if I tell you I'm not going to do it, you're not going to convince me to do it. And you know for yourself, you used to send me a lot. Dr. Fletcher, you just make up your mind and that's it, and you don't do it because I think about it before I do it. And when I make up my mind, I'm not changing it just because somebody tells me to change it or try to convince me to change it, because I thought about it before I made the decision. So I realized, raised up a child, I did my daughter the same way. I said yes, no. Now, she did get me to bend a little bit more than my mother. My mother was a no-bend person. I was flexible, you know, but I would let her know, this is the reason why we could do it, and if you plead your case to me, and I'll look at it from your perspective, then we can make some adjustments to the answer. But if I ever say that's it and I'm finished and I'm done and that's final, then I won't change that. And that's the way I am today. So she raised me that way.
And that scripture, Dr. Bessie, that's Matthew 5:37, where God said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And anything beyond this comes from the evil one, he says. And that's scripture, Matthew 5:37. And so when we used to have family meetings, I had boys. I didn't have any girls. But we used to have family meetings, and I would tell my children, if I tell you no, don't go to your father. If you want your dad and I to be happy in this house, you dare not go to come to me if he told you no, and go to him if I've told you no. Because you don't want that division between your dad and I. And if you want us to stay together, you guys are going to have to just accept whatever we tell you, because we know what's best for you, because we've been there and done that. And so my boys grew up knowing they're not. Once we've said no or yes, that's the answer, period, end of story. So they didn't get that opportunity to pit one against the other, because I've always been a yes or no person as well. But I do give people the benefit of the doubt. If it sounds reasonable, I'm not going to say no right off the bat until I think about it, so I don't have to change my mind. Do that make sense?
Yeah, that's what I just said. I don't say no until I thought about it. When I think about it, and I'm going to have a conversation with somebody about it, I'm in my mind talking to God. Because every day I say, Holy Spirit, you lead and guide me. So when something comes up, the Holy Spirit talking to me and I'm listening. While the other person talking, I'm listening. And then I'm going to get an answer. And when I get that answer, then that's the answer. Because they either going to trust the Holy Spirit or you're not. And people may think, well, you know, that ain't the answer I want, but it's not, because the Holy Spirit knows what's for me and what I need, what I'm going to be faced with in my life or my journey, and it may not have anything to do with the other person.
Right.
So he's going to tell me what I should do to say yes or no. But see, when you're talking about the family, you know, it's just amazing because right now there are certain things when we talk about training the child, there are certain things that went on in my household with my mother. Like, say, for instance, my mother called me every morning. Once I got married at 18, left home. She called me every morning about 7:30. Before she went to work, before I went to work, we talked. And to this day, every day, I'm talking to my daughter as she's going to work. Now we have cell phones. We can talk while she's in the car driving and this type of thing. But my mother had to call me before I left home. So we mothers are training our daughters when we least expect that we're training our daughters. Now, this is not something to beat you up. This conversation is nothing but just a tap into your subconscious mind. And you say, okay, well, Dr. Fletcher, you're saying all of that, but my daughter's 24, she's 25. How can I change? I recognize. See, I'm not telling you something you don't know. You recognize the things that you've done. You recognize that maybe I shouldn't have done that when I was 24, and maybe I shouldn't have took my daughter here. And you know, that's okay. We can't change the past. That's why we have Jesus. Jesus is here to forgive us for our sins, and then we move on. But we have got to go back and reconcile with our daughters. We've got to go back and have that honest conversation. We got to go back and say to her, you know, I just want to apologize to you. I want to apologize to you because I didn't know. I thought what I was doing at that time, I thought I was right. I thought, you know, I was doing the very best I can. I was raising you by myself, or I didn't know because I didn't have a relationship with my mother. I've learned things since. I'm more aware. I'm close to God now. I have a different perspective, and I just want to apologize to you. And then you know what I like? Can we just start all over again? You can start right now. You don't have to wait. You can start. I do that with Jesus. I keep saying, you know, when I mess up, I go back and I apologize, and I say, Lord, can we just start all over again? It's okay to start all over. Leave the past in the past and start right there where you are in the present. And know that you can have, and God said, I'll redeem the time. So you won't miss a thing. God will make sure that you all enjoy the wonderful things that you thought you missed, can present that right back in your life. If you want to go traveling, you wish you'd have had time to have intimate times with your daughter or your mother, you can do that right now. Just start where you stopped. That's our motto for the school. Just start where you stopped and enjoy it, because, you know, we're not promised this afternoon, and we're not promised tomorrow, and nothing is done but a whole bunch of nonsense. It doesn't even matter. I had a conversation with my daughter yesterday, and once we got through with that conversation, you know what I told her? Bottom line is, I love you, and that's it. We're done. Have a nice day. Boom, bottom line. Mothers, you got to take the helm. You got to just go ahead and say it, because you're not going to ever disconnect from your daughter, even if she goes you're on the East Coast and she's on the West Coast, even if she doesn't call you. But your heart and your mind is on her every second, even more if you're not communicating. So why even aggravate yourself? Why go through all of that? What do you have to prove? Who are you proving it to? Because God sees it all and he knows the truth. You be the one. You take the high road. You're the oldest. You're the one supposed to be wiser. And if you're going to get on the same platform with your daughter, you know better than your daughter. You're acting like a daughter when you should be acting like a mother. There's different roles that we play. We are a daughter. Every woman is a daughter. But what role are you playing with your daughter? Are you playing the role of a daughter, or are you playing the role of a mother? That's the part, and that's something that a mother and daughter, especially a mother, need to ask herself.
Absolutely, Dr. Fletcher. But, you know, when it comes to mothers and daughters, and some daughters, especially if they're both up in age, as far, let's say, when I say up in age, just on the radio show when you did the interview, the young lady was 24, and they never said the age of the mother, but it came across as the young lady has learned some stuff. that even she was sharing with her mother some stuff. And so sometimes the daughter has matured and surpassed the mother in her mental state, if you will, especially depending on the life and of the mother, if she's been the women that we deal with, if she's been someone who's been on substance, using substance for many, many years, then sometime if the daughter haven't had that experience, she was raised by her grandmother, and grandmother has taught her the word, then she grows up with more of what the God has said, as opposed to, and maybe the daughter at some point came in and out of places where she heard the word, but the daughter has solidified the word because she's hearing it more, and the mother's been out there, and she's been on substance abuse and been in a whole lot of life adversities, then sometimes the daughters are more mature than the mother when they're both adults. And so it's okay, daughters, to share with your mother what you have gained as far as the wisdom and knowledge, because the person who's seeking the wisdom and knowledge surpass the ones who is not and who are still caught up out there in the world. And so if you want your mother and daughter relationship to change, and you want to change the perspective of your mothers and daughter relationship, daughters, don't be on your high horse because you have gained some knowledge and wisdom because you were educated and whatnot and your mother is not, because then you're no better than your mother. And I hear that a lot. And then when we come into the knowledge of who our mothers are and we start to spend time with them, we start to try to buy them. And because that's been her life. And so now we want her in our lives. And so we've started the relationship off wrong, because in order for her, and I had students tell me this, that when I finally got my mother in my life, I started to take her out and buy her things, and then now I can't get her to come see me or be with me, or I can't call her unless I take her somewhere and spend money on her. But that's how you started the relationship. People expect what you start. If you don't like that, stop it. And so when we, as the daughter, is the one who has gained the knowledge and wisdom, your simple job is to share what God has given you with your mother, so your mother can start to change. Either one of us, mother or daughter, we have a responsibility, if we are the ones who are seeking knowledge and wisdom, to share it with the other human being, because we're human beings first before we are that mother. And so when we don't do that, and when we on our high horse and we thinking less about mother, because I hear students and clients say it all the time, I'm already better than my mother. Well, are you really? If you're treating her the way you don't want to be treated, are you really better than her? Because when we don't know how to treat people according to the word of God, despite who they are and where they've been, then we're no better than the person on the other end. We have to meet people where they are, same like starting where you stop. You have to meet them where they are, and hopefully they will mature enough that you can feel that you can share the wisdom and knowledge, so they will be open. But when you come across as you high and mighty and you all holier than thou, then you shut people off. You become so heavenly bound that you're no earthly good to that person that you are in contact with. And so when we're not loving people according to how God loves us despite our mess, we're no better than the person on the other end. So mothers, you're no better than daughters, and daughters no better than mothers when we don't treat them accordingly to the word of God.
Well, that's the word right there. That is it right there. Because, you know, mothers, you know, for me and my mother and daughter relationship, I look at my daughter as an adult woman, and I learn so much from her. Because she knows God. And God, the Holy Spirit, knows all things, and he will teach you according to where you are and the questions that you ask. So I don't know where she is in her life and her role with God. I just know she's a godly woman. But she teaches me all the time. You know, when we're talking and we're having conversations about basically anything, you know, I can learn from her. So I don't shut myself off as the authority, you know. That was one thing that I noticed that I got from my mother, that I didn't want to take into my mother and daughter relationship. See, sometimes we have to look at, is this what I want to do? You know, one was the spanking, and, you know, and one was because I said so, you know, those kind of things. And I said, I don't want to take that into my mother and daughter relationship. Well, at first I didn't think I wanted to have any children, first of all. But when I realized I was pregnant, I asked God to help me. I said, because I don't even know what to do. I knew I had the model, but I knew I liked some things about the way my mother and I and my relationship was, and I knew I liked some things I didn't like. So the things I didn't like, I just said, I'm going to capitalize on them. And one thing was, is to tell my daughter, whatever you want to talk about, I'll listen. Doesn't mean that I'm going to agree with you because I'm the mother and I have to make the decision, but I will give you a reason and we'll talk about it till you understand. Now, when I said that, I had no knowledge that this little girl was going to challenge me the way that she was. I had no knowledge that God had sent me somebody that was older than her earthly numbers. You know what I'm saying? So it was a challenge. And sometimes I found myself wanting to do just what my mother said because, see, I was the same kind of child. I would challenge my mother. And so when she couldn't figure out how to really answer me in a way, for some things, I think she thought was just a little bit above my head, and she didn't know how to break it down to me, and she would get frustrated and say, well, you know, well, she done gave me two or three different situations, and I still wouldn't accept them, and she said, well, that's because I said so. When she says it's because she said so, that means she done tried to tell you two or three different ways, and I still come back around the corner. I was that kind of a child. Well, here was my daughter, the same kind of child. So what? As is the mother, so is the daughter. I got those same stresses, and I would do what? I would back up. And I found myself wanting to say, because I said so. So I realized why my mother said it. You see, we have to grow up, like you're talking about the daughter. We have to grow up. Sometimes it takes having children in order to appreciate the things that your mother had to go through because she, too, was in training. She's never had a daughter your age. She's never been pregnant. You know, she's never been a mother before. So everybody's treading on new ground. That's why we have to go to God and ask for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us because we don't know. We're all in training. I'm in training even at my age. I'm in training because today is a day that I never lived. Today when I talk to my daughter is a conversation we never had. So everything is new every second. So we're all in training. So how can we hold one hostage over the other? Like I tell Agent, I don't know. But I tell you what, let's pray about it. Those are my answers.
Absolutely. And Dr. Fletcher, as I said, audience, I don't have girls. I have sons. And so it's the same way with me. I've always been a questioner. And God gave me a son, my first child. He's a questioner. You can't just give him anything and he's going to go on and sit down. You have to expound and explain to him because he's going to ask you why. Because if it don't make sense to him, he's not going to receive it. Period. End of story. And so we have to know that God has given us. He gave you Angie and asked the mother, source the daughter. But in my case, he didn't give me a daughter. He gave me a son. So my son is someone who's always been a questioner. And I shared with you last week on the show that my son and I had been going through a little rough patch there, and he was giving me, and we went back and forth, and we were kind of perturbed with each other. But then my son took the time to research what God said about the thing, and he sent me a lengthy discussion of what God had showed him in his time of study concerning the situation. And so I had to back down and humble myself in order to receive what he was saying. And I could have went back and forth trying to get him to see my perspective because I allowed my emotions to get involved with it. But because that's what I've taught him, and it's really not about trying to prove that he's right, because you said last week that we are to compare our rights to the Word of God. And that's what my son did. He compared his rights, what he thought was his right in sharing with me to what the Word of God said. And so when he found that what he was trying to get me to understand lined up with what God said, he sent that to me.
And so if I had not humbled myself, I can still be walking around pissed off, mad about what I feel as opposed to what it is. And that's oftentimes what happens. We're walking around in our feelings and not receiving what it is. Because if God said it, it's what it is. And we can receive it or dispute it. But if God has said it, it can't be wrong. And so when I've taught my children to speak for themselves the word of God, and when they come back to me with that, what do? I have to back up, get out of my emotions, get out of my feelings, and receive the message. And the message was that even though we have differences, we can still start where we stopped, or we can pick up where we left off with love. And we don't have to continue to walk in our emotions as opposed to walking in what God has said. And when you walk in what God has said, you gain a sense of peace over the whole situation where you're able to humble yourself and love your child despite what he or she has shared with you. Because we as mothers oftentimes do think we're right. And because I said so. But it ain't because you said so. It's because you have bought into what you have come to believe. And if just because you believe it, don't make it right. If God, your God word don't line up with it, you ain't got to try to prove that you're right anyway. Because life lessons ain't about being right or wrong. Life lessons is about learning how to live according to what God says. And when you live that way, you have a peace about it. You can love your child beyond. Daughters can love their mothers beyond the hurts and pains and disappointments, because we're all human beings and we're doing the very best we can until we learn something new. That's my take on it.
Well, that was a good take. Audience, I was on the Art Sims Chat Daddy radio program this past Thursday night at 8:30, and they're doing a celebration. Of course, tomorrow is Daughter's Day. And so all week, you know, I'm hearing that the social media is blowing it up. This is my daughter, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The question that he asked me was, what advice would you give mothers and daughters for this weekend? And so I'm going to kind of leave you with that as well. I said that, you know, every day should be a mother and daughter's day, Cynthia. Every day, you know, when you think about it, you thank God that you up and moving around and you got your daughter that you can correspond here on this earth with. The one thing that my mother said to me that made the perspective, gave me the perspective of why she did what she did. She said, I can't imagine getting up, starting my day without knowing that you're breathing somewhere on this earth. Now that, to me, was like, wow. That's what my mother said to me. I cannot get up and start my day. How many times do we do that? Mothers get up, they're going about their business, they don't check to see if the child breathing, you know, and I always kind of equate that with, where do you stop mothering? You know, I know that's something that most mothers don't do, but that's the way she trained me. That's the way I do with my daughter. And then, you know, now we got grandsons, you know, my grandsons, I said, oh, Lord. And I, you know, I'm checking on them. I don't call them every day because I'm trying to learn that, you know, boys are not going to receive it like girls does. Yeah. But we tell them we're still close in their life. And I said, you know, when you get married, we have to tell your wife, you know, you're not nana's boys or mama's boys, but you are. We care about you, and that's the way we are. We connect. We keep up with each other in the family. But what I would say to mothers and daughters this weekend, as I said on Art Sims' show on WBON out of Chicago, which was absolutely wonderful, and a shout-out to Art. I mean, I just love him. I love the show. I love the energy, the chattiness, the cleverness, the charmness of his show. And I was telling him, I said, you know, I would suggest that mothers and daughters go on a date. We spend so much time at the movie, at the mall. We spend time, maybe a movie night or, you know, family dinner, and we think that's quality time. that is really not quality time. Quality time would be a date with your daughter, mothers and daughters, and mother, and you take your daughter out, and no, you don't have the phone, you don't have all the technology, you're not on Facebook, you are actually spending time, quality time with each other, just listening, just feeling the energy of each other. I'm telling you, look her in her eyes, hold her hands, look in her eyes, and reconnect. Go back and get that little girl that you once remember. You first looked in her eyes when the doctor brought her and placed her in your arms. And when he placed her in your arms and you looked in her eyes, love just, you could feel that love energy shooting from one heart to the other. And somewhere along the line, you know, the distance, not looking into her eyes, you lost that bond. The bond stretched, not lost it, but the bond got weaker. You stopped touching her and hugging her, and so therefore you're not sharing and inhaling all of that energy. Go back and spend an hour or two of just sitting down doing that. Look into her eyes, hold her hands, and just say, you know, I'm here for you. First of all, apologize. Let me just clean the slate. Whatever I've ever done, whatever I've said that you may feel in your heart that I was wrong, let me apologize to you. And once you apologize, now tell me, what is it that you would like to say to me? Because, mother, you can take it. You've been there. You done been down some roads that you've gotten some spankings. You know what it feels like. So if you can take it from the world, you can take it from your daughter. She can't say nothing but what she believes is her truth. So sit, relax, listen, and give her an opportunity to share what she feels in her heart. And I'm telling you, you will start all over again. You will recapture that moment when you first look into her eyes. And that's the moment that can take you on your journey. And every once in a while, don't let it be just a daughter's day or don't let it be a mother's day. Make it your duty to do it as often as you can. And even you may say, well, my daughter's not with me. Okay, when you do see her, you make sure that happens. But you can look in her eyes through your heart, because if you're on the phone with your daughter and you're smiling, you are sending love. Smiles go through the phone. You can tell when someone's smiling. You can feel that energy. Energy is not something that you see. Energy is something that you feel. So send that start and say, baby, when we get together, we're going to listen to Dr. Bessie. We're going to spend this time. We're going to look at each other in the eyes, and I just want you to know I love you. You can apologize on the phone, and you all can start that quality time right now, even if she's not in your presence. You know how to do it. You just got to make up your mind. That's what you're going to do. And once you make up your mind, nothing can stop you, and that relationship is going to take off on a whole different, as they say, a whole different plane. You're going to fly high, and you're going to wonder, what was all that about? Why were we arguing? Why couldn't we just sit down and do like we did when you was a little girl? Mother, you still the mother, and there's still the number of years between the difference, and she's still your little girl. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, that's our show. It was interesting. Just think about it. It is Daughter's Day tomorrow, but every day is Daughter's Day. Every day is Mother's Day. Every day is a day of love. So, spend your day, do your date, but make it a practice. Start where you stop. Want to say something before we leave?
Happy Daughter's Day. All of us are daughters. We're daughters before we're mothers, and that's what we all have in common with this radio show. We are all daughters. So happy Daughter's Day, and mothers, let's
keep it going. We're doing the best we can until we learn something different.
Bye-bye, audience. We'll talk to you next week. Have a blessed week.